This was out of Montreal. Yeah, absolutely. What's happening in La Belle Provence?
In La Belle Provence. So, yeah, this is happening in Montreal. So this has been an ongoing thing for about a decade. And it's one of those frog in a boiling pot of water. We haven't really talked about this because it's eased in so gradually that at no point it has been newsworthy until now. So as it happens, there has been a homeless encampment in the heart of the gay village in Montreal for years now. And what's been happening is, especially over COVID, when they were trying to concentrate a lot of the services, a lot of the homeless in Montreal have slowly navigated towards this one space. The majority of the homeless in Montreal are in the sort of Roxham Road. Oh, no, Roxham is where they were sort of displaced from. Sorry, that they're in the sort of Sainte-Catherine region in this one particular square nearby, near the Berry-UQAM station, if you know Montreal well. And what's been happening is a lot of people feel incredibly unsafe in the village. And to be clear, this includes other homeless people. But that's where a lot of the services have been moved to. And a lot of the LGBT businesses have been closing and a lot of the gay residents have been moving away. So the gay village has been losing its flavor as being sort of the queer hub of Montreal. And because there's not a lot of gay villages in Quebec in general, it's kind of the queer hub of the entire province, in a way. So for a whole bunch of reasons, not just to preserve, you know, the sort of the business association of Sainte-Catherine and not just the gay residents and not just the sort of LGBT community, but also for the sake of the homeless themselves. The Montreal mayor, Mayor Plante, has actually been
probably a relation.
Actually, I think there is a relation. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, right. She's asking on the province to help to try to get as many mental health care workers and long-term care workers in to try to get as many people off the streets as possible. And for those where that's less possible, to at least get in the long-term health care workers so that in a year or two, it might be possible to get some of these people into more permanent facilities, either a permanent residence or actually get them off the streets altogether, get them into employment programs. Homelessness is complicated, obviously. There is a lot of mental health issues surrounding this. And I've actually passed through the Sainte-Catherine homeless encampment totally by accident once because I had no idea where I was going. And it was clear that there was a lot of mental health and substance abuse issues in that community. And it was more than just give them housing. This is a very complicated situation. So they are starting to look at long-term solutions, not to just displace the homeless, but to just make the homeless not homeless, partly for the sake of the community. But there is this emphasis on helping the homeless themselves. But the community itself, like a lot of this has come out of the LGBT community of Montreal basically begging for help because that part of town has become incredibly unsafe. So there is, so far it looks like the province, they haven't promised anything yet, but they've definitely said that they are going to send help. What that means, you know how politics works. They could send them a box of donuts for all we know, but they're definitely going to do something.
Yeah, I think what this speaks to me a lot of is, you know, there's just so much going on in this particular story. It reminds me of when we looked into the Canadian census and they issued a special report on the queer community across Canada. And most queer folks live in Ontario and most of them in the GTA. Yes. The next biggest village, as it were, is Montreal. You know, that's the second largest concentration of queer folks in Canada. Absolutely. And then it's Vancouver. I think it's Montreal, then Vancouver.
Okay.
So Rue Sainte-Catherine has a key cultural role for queer folks in Canada, just as Davie Street does out in Vancouver and Church and Wellesley, the village in Toronto. Now, I think watching human suffering And seeing that sap away at the energy of services in the area, and the ability to live and thrive in the area, of businesses in the area, like that must have been a tough pill for that community to be watching over the past 3 years, this consistent influx, and the ripple effects of that. You know, it's certainly you know, you're right. It's how do you measure against displacing people who desperately need help, and avoid having these desperate people doing sometimes desperate things concentrated all in one area, regardless of where that area is. You know, I think it's going to be tricky. Although I do say that I do think that the plan to move people into hospitals or shelters or more stable housing, or not. For me, that sounds like they're setting up for a nice big sweep, to clear them all out at once. Like that's the what I'm reading in the tea leaves.
If being cleared out means having a better life, and obviously this is me making a very strong assumption that they are going to do exactly what they say they're going to do, which is help people get off the streets, then I'm all for it. But you're absolutely right. Sometimes this is coded language for stick them on a bus and drop them off in another city.
Hopefully
Well,
it doesn't turn out that way.
hopefully we'll see some actual help occurring. Okay, we are playing now Take the Long Way Home by Monks on Call, and we will be back just after this.
I'm not forgotten.
going to start off. Oh, hello and welcome back. This is Cancrete, home of Canada's Korean media. My name is Luke Smith. I am going to start off.
Sebastian,
I am going to start off this next segment three times, apparently. But what I'm going to kick it off with is what is if it if this man needs to sell the rights to his story as a rom-com, okay? Because I think it has hilarity and humor in every ounce of it. Mm-hmm. A straight British building surveyor, so a rather burly man, you know, building surveyor, construction, straight, blue collar, yes. I imagine him with a thick regional accent is what I'm thinking. I don't know why I've gone Welsh, but he could be Cornish, doesn't really matter. Anyway, George Rogers has lived in Sydney for the last few years, and he was flying back to Australia after visiting South America. Now, he was getting to Australia via LAX, and he pulls up to the gate of a Qantas Air flight to Sydney from LA, and discovers that absolutely everybody in that waiting lounge are very, very, to quote him, very, very colorful people and outfits, I think is how we described. Mm-hmm. Oh, and flags, colorful people and flags is how he said it. He told news.com Australia. Yeah, he said, I had absolutely no idea it was a World Pride flight. It dawned on me when I checked in and I saw a lot of colorful people and pride flags. So for those who don't know what the World Pride flight is, Qantas Airlines, who was the airline sponsor for World Pride in Sydney, in a very theatrical fashion, flies a whole bunch of people who have purposely booked the same very gay flight from LAX to Sydney. There were drag queen performances. There was drag bingo on the flight to Australia. Yeah, in mid-flight, there were drag performances from drag queens from Qantas Airlines. So yeah, it was a whole, and someone did a makeup tutorial at 20,000 feet. It's just, it was a whole thing. It was a very, very gay thing.
Anything near my eyes if there's a risk of turbulence.
Well, that's a very good point. I don't know how you apply an even blush in turbulence, but the point is that this wasn't just a little bit gay. It was farting rainbows from
top gay
check-in. Yeah, absolutely.
Too gay for most gays, even just like pure gay, distilled gay.
Okay, so still speaking in Australia, the Prime Minister of Australia, Anthony Albanese, has made history as at being the first Prime Minister to attend the Mardi Gras. Now, for Canadian listeners, Justin Trudeau was the first Canadian Prime Minister to march in Mardi Gras a little while ago. So yeah, very, very big news as part of World Pride Sydney. Now,
although you did just do a little flub there, in Canada we call it Pride. Actually, they still call it Pride in Australia. It's just
Pride. I kept mentioning World
Pride.
Mardi Gras
weekend, so Mardi Gras is Pride in Sydney. Yeah.
Yes.
I hope they have a pancake stand. Why don't we have a pancake stand at our Pride?
Why do you think they have pancake stands?
Because it's Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. Pancake day.
Oh, I see.
We should totally have pancakes at Pride.
Interesting story out of Kenya. We do keep an eye on the rest of the world. The Kenyan Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission of Kenya to legally incorporate as a non-governmental organization. Now, they had initially existed. They were then told that they couldn't be incorporated because they had the word gay and the word lesbian in their name. And it is currently criminalized in being homosexual acts are criminalized in Kenya under their rules. In 2015, the High Court said that saying you can't incorporate just because you have the word gay is unconstitutional. The government appealed it. The Court of Appeal in 2019 also ruled that just because you have the word gay doesn't mean you can counter corporate. The government appealed that ruling. And now the Supreme Court of Kenya has issued a final judgment on this, that it is, in fact, unconstitutional to ban this organization from incorporating just because it has the word gay. Now, this will be really interesting to see how the Kenyan government reacts to this. They would have to change legislation at this point to prevent them from becoming. And then that legislation may well itself also be challenged. But in the meantime, the ruling for MGL HRC has been quite clear that they can incorporate as a non-governmental organization. And we expect that they will do so and then work to advocate for LGBT rights in Kenya from there.
I know the East African region also has a complicated, I'm broadly saying that because like Tanzania and Mozambique also have a complicated relationship with this, but they NGOs in general have a rocky past. There's been a lot of obviously corrupt NGOs, so I know they have their laser pointers on any NGO that pops up in the region just because of a really complicated history of weird things happening in the region. Unfortunately,
I think you had some good news out of South Korea.
Oh, yes.
Another judicial news story, the South Korean High Court. And we often sit and find our news from legal cases more than anything else.
Or medical cases, which is also in the mix. So same-sex marriage is not legal in South Korea, but there are they don't have same-sex marriage or civil partnerships, but you can acknowledge a same-sex partner as like a dependent, or as, you know, they can inherit your land if you die, like you put them in your will. So they're kind of on the way to same-sex partnerships, but not quite. But the recently ruled that if you have partner benefits as a South Korean citizen, they can extend to your same-sex partner as of now. So this is, they're edging closer day by day to same-sex at least civil partnerships, if not marriage, in South Korea.
We have been keeping an eye on the Anglican Church and the continued... We've talked about the potential of a new schism, and it's been a lot of... I think it's only really us that's been talking about it. But essentially, Archbishop of Canterbury, the leader among equals of the primates of the Anglican Church, he went recently with the Catholic Pope and the Archbishop of Scotland to the South Sudan and a couple of other places in Africa on a mission of bringing peace, in particular to the South Sudan, and among other things. All three of them, on multiple occasions, reiterated that it is unjust, and I think the Pope even said a sin, to criminalize homosexuality. Now, there are a sprinkling of countries, we've just mentioned Kenya, in the area that have anti-LGBT laws. Needless to say, the Anglican Church leaders in that particular part of the world apparently didn't take that kindly to this criminalizing homosexuality. Is not even just not good. It is an actual sin. Yep. So this has become a bit of a hot topic. It looks like there is a group of about 42 Anglican churches. The synod is 42. But 10 of those Anglican church archbishops have now rebelled against this particular decision. Now, you looked into this story as well. What else did you find?
The only thing I can think is that the irony is the Anglican Church formed in the first place to rebel against the Pope, and now there's another group that's forming to rebel against the Archbishop of the church that rebelled against the Pope. While the Pope was in the room at the same time.
I mean, it's one for the history books. I mean, I think it's interesting. It looks like it is the archbishops of the Congo, of Uganda, of Sudan, of Alexandria, Melanesia, the Indian Ocean. Apparently the whole Indian Ocean has its own archbishop. Okay. The archbishop also of Chile, Bangladesh, and Myanmar, or Burma if you're British.
If they turned their back on the Church of England and formed some kind of like Church of Africa, I wish they did it under better reasons, but this is kind of a good post-colonial move of trying to find their own path forward and incorporating sort of the, African tradition or their own ways of approaching Christianity and forming their own branch. I just wish it was under better circumstances and under different reasons. A post-colonial
The
approach of being like, let's make an African church. I think that would be very positive. But to be fair, Christianity's been in Africa for longer than it's been in Europe. So the Horn of Africa, the old Abyssinian Empire, it's been Christian for a very long time. Christian Coptics in Egypt. Definitely Egypt. I mean, it's kind of an obvious one. But yeah, for them to say like maybe the English flavor of Christianity is not for us anymore. Again, I wish they did it under better auspices, but maybe it's about time. Maybe it's about time this happened,
I think if
Ideally,
there
I'd
was a schism of the Anglican churches, it'll be really interesting to see what happens to, for example, the Anglican Church of Canada, and where that might fall and how they would all coexist. There is another story that I wanted to discuss briefly, and it is a rather somber story. We have been following the news for quite a while, and Kyiv Pride and Kharkiv Pride, which normally, when your country is not being actively invaded by Russia, your only job that day is to arrange a once-a-year Pride festival. But Kyiv Pride and Kharkiv Pride have been working as a shelter for Ukrainians fleeing the war front of the Russian invasion. They've been working to smuggle people out of Russia and the path of Russia into the rest of into friendlier countries. Yeah, they've become a major service provider to an incredibly at-risk population as a result of this war. I bring it up to say because there has been a recent report in the let me get the right name for it, but there was a report by the LGBT Human Rights Nashvit Center on the specific reported cases of abuse. I'm not going to go into the detail of the abuse by Russian soldiers of Ukrainians in the territories that the Russians have now occupied in the Ukraine. But most notably of all is the sense that the Russians are operating off lists. Now, the Wall Street Journal released way back, I think it was in February of 2022, a letter from the United States to the commissioner of the UN saying that Russia had planned to hunt down LGBT advocates in occupied territories in the Ukraine. And was essentially ringing the alarm bells on what could be war crimes. Most recently, it has emerged that there are people fleeing from these areas who are alleging exactly that. And it's not two or three. I think there's about 112 cases that have been brought together in this report under the 1 year of Russian occupation. It's incredibly grim. And it's definitely another reminder to LGBT folks that being queer in Russia is not a good place to be. Being queer in the path of Russia is perhaps an even more dangerous spot to be as well. So we'll keep an eye out. Anyone interested in supporting the work of Kyiv Pride and Kharkiv Pride can go to Given Gain, GIVENGAIN. The European Pride Organizers Association have a direct fundraiser set up for both of those pride organizations. They're helping to get folks out of the path of the war. So definitely a lot going on there. Okay, well, we have reached the end of the show. We are just about to finish up. This is Every Girl by Altered by Mum. The band is Altered by Mum. No, the band is called Altered by Mum. The song is called Every Girl. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
She puts cream in her tea, doesn't oversteep the leaf. She's got a kiss like a she's dating my best friend. She's every girl I've ever dreamed. Oh. House hearts tell lies. Break a promise, say goodbye. It's hard to cry with all these needles in my eyes. I might forget we ever had a fight. Every girl I've ever loved, please come home with me tonight. Yeah, please come home with me tonight.
I've got a secret I can't. Too weird. She's the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard. She's the beard. She's the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard, the beard. She's the beard. I've got a secret I can't. Much too clear.